Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. We're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. And this was a letter that Paul writes, of course, to the churches that he founded on his first missionary journey. He wants to help them understand grace of God, both salvation and Christian life, that salvation is a gift by faith and Christian life is even by faith. This idea is for us is the key as well, for us to understand the grace of God, because God totally deals with us in grace. We are saved by grace. We stand and live this Christian life by grace. Remember these people, they had trusted Christ under Paul and the church had formed and they'd started well, but then a group came in by the name of the Judaizers and pulled them away from the truth by some false teaching. Paul taught that salvation was by faith alone in Christ alone. The Judaizers came in and said that if you're going to be saved, you had to keep the Mosaic law. You had to come under law. You had to come under works. You had to do good things in order to be saved. There are a lot of people who say the same thing today. They say it's not just faith alone in Christ. You can't go to heaven just by believing in Jesus as your Savior. You've got to be willing to do this and do this and do this and do this. The Galatians were confused. And as we see this, Paul seeks to correct this false teaching. And this morning we're going to see that Paul uses the Galatians' own experience that they had trusted in Christ and come to God by faith. And then he's going to use the example of Abraham, the same way that Abraham was saved by faith. And the truth is this, for all of us, we have eternal life salvation, not by our works and keeping of law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And we got to understand a great truth, that salvation comes by faith and not law, and the Christian life is lived by faith and not by law. And may we understand that as we look at our study this morning. You know, sometimes we turn on television or go to a movie and there's this courtroom drama and there people are called a witness and they go up there and when they go up there, the lawyers are asking them questions to try to get to the truth. And sometimes the best way to understand something is by asking questions. Well, this morning we're going to see that Paul uses a series of questions to help the Galatians understand the great truth that both salvation and Christian life is by faith. And so in this passage, we're going to see that Paul raises four questions. You may not have seen it when I read the scripture a while ago, but he asks four questions to them to help them understand where they are. And by the answers to these questions, we can see the truth concerning the message of salvation by grace through faith. This morning, we're just going to look at verses 1 through 9. And let me just show you something. The outline of the book of Galatians, in chapters 1 and 2, Paul talked about the defense of his apostleship. But when we get into chapters 3 and 4, he's really talking about salvation by faith. Now, he mentions, and we'll see it in this passage, he mentions the Christian life as well, so we bring that out. But primarily in chapters 3 and 4, he's talking about salvation by faith. Then in chapters 5 and 6 of the book of Galatians, he's going to talk more about the Christian life being by faith. And so that's so much. And this is really the central message of the Bible. The perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. Now, I want to show you something, and we're going to get it. In the chapter 3, Paul gives 6 points. Don't write any of this down. We're going to see this. But in the next few weeks, we're going to see these 6 points. We're going to see 2 this morning. He shows by the example of the Galatians that they're saved by faith. The example of Abraham, saved by faith. The law brings a curse, so you're saved by faith. Salvation is based on the promise, you're saved by faith. The law's purpose is not salvation. The law can't save, you're saved by faith. Salvation is by our union with Christ, we're saved by faith. So as we go through the chapter 3, and it's going to take us about 2 to 3 weeks to go through that, we're going to see that he continually says, how are we saved? Galatians, how are you saved? By faith. How was Abraham saved? By faith. If you go to the law, you can't be saved. It's got to be by faith. When we go to the promise, it's by faith. When we see the whole purpose of the law, no, it's by faith. When we see our union with Christ, it's all by faith. And so as we go through this chapter 3, we're going to see over and over again that salvation is by faith. And that is a key. And that's something that we've got to grasp. Now, the first 2 of this morning, I want to show them to you in verses 1 through 5. We'll see it. We'll go through it fairly quickly. He defends the whole issue of grace and faith by the experience of the Galatians. He asked them, how did you get saved? And they'd say, well, by faith. He said, that's why. That's how it is. Then he's going to show the example of Abraham, and he's going to defend grace there and grace through faith in the same way. So we've got some great things to see this morning. We'll go fairly quickly through it. He wants the Galatians to realize by their own experience and by the life of Abraham that salvation is always by faith. Now, if you've been in this church for any length of time, you've heard this message over and over, that salvation is by faith. You hear us say it over and over, that Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, came to the earth, died on the cross to pay for sin, rose again to conquer death, and gives eternal life as a gift by faith. We say that over and over again. And all of you, I hope every one of you in this room, you say, hey, we know it. We know it. But let me tell you what, the people you deal with every day, they don't know that. They're not taught that message. They're taught a works message. They're taught that you need to do something to get to God. And the Galatians were confused, and that's why Paul is writing to them. He wants to make sure they understand it. So as we look at the first of the 6 points, here is the first one, and this is this. The experience of the Galatians shows that salvation is by faith. He's going to actually say to the Galatians, how did you get saved? And they're going to say, well, we believed in Jesus as our Savior. He said, that's right. That's how it is. Realize the Galatians were saved by faith, and he reminds them of that. He begins, you know, he came to them with the message that Jesus died and rose again, and whoever believed in him would have eternal life. And it is that simple. Look how he starts chapter 3. It's very strong. He says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Now, let me tell you, he loves these people. He went there, he led them to Christ, he risked his life, he was persecuted, they were persecuted. He did everything to make sure they understood salvation. And he wants them to grasp this. Notice it says, you foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? We're going to come back to that word in just a minute. He says, I told you about Jesus Christ. It's important that they understand it. Let me tell you, there are people you deal with every day, and they think that going to heaven is by doing good. That's not something we can overlook and just say, well, you believe your way, we believe our way. No. Look, people need to know that salvation is a gift, and it's by faith alone in Christ alone. He says, you foolish Galatians. He says, you're without understanding. You're not thinking. You're not thinking. He says, the point is, what did he just tell them? Look back at verse 21. What did he just tell them in chapter 2, verse 21? He says, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, Christ died needlessly. Listen, if law can save, Jesus died for nothing. If the law could save you, then Jesus died for nothing. If you could be saved by your goodness, by keeping the law, by being good, then Jesus didn't have to come and die. He died for nothing. That's what Paul just said. And he's reminding the Galatians of that. And he says, are you not thinking? He says, you foolish Galatians. And then he says, who has bewitched you? This word literally means to cast a spell. He says, I told you that it was by faith alone. Who has come in there and fooled you and changed your mind and confused you about the message? I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I've met with people before, and there was a person that I spent probably several months with, and we talked about the message of salvation, and that person understood that salvation was a gift and by faith alone and Christ alone, and they would say to me, I believe that you're saved simply by faith. Then that person got with another group in this community, in this town, and he calls me back and says, I think it's much more now than faith. I think you have to do this and this and this in order to prove that you're saved, in order that you stay saved. And I looked at him and I said, who has confused you? It's the same thing that Paul is saying to the Galatians. He said, who fooled you? Who caused you to get confused about the gospel? And it's true. That happens. People get confused. Many Christians have been deceived. There are people that we come in contact with every day that think you either have to do something good in order to be saved, or you have to do good in order to stay saved, or you have to do good in order to kind of prove that you are saved. And if you don't do good, you never were saved. Paul says, don't you remember? He said, you foolish Galatians, who has fooled you? Who tricked you? And then he says this, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. He said, I told you about Christ. He said, I told you how Jesus died on the cross. I told you how he paid for our sins. I told you how he was buried. I told you how he rose again. I publicly told you these great truths so that you would understand. Paul said he made known clearly to these people that salvation was a gift by faith alone. And now he begins to raise the questions. He's going to raise 4 questions. And he's going to say, listen to these questions and give me the answer. Here's question number one. Question number one, did you get the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? In other words, did you get saved? Did you get the Holy Spirit? Because when they believed in Jesus Christ, they got the Holy Spirit. He said, did you get the Holy Spirit by works, by keeping the law, or by the hearing of faith? What's the answer going to be? The answer, of course, is by faith. It wasn't by the works of the law. He says, notice verse 2, this is the only thing I want to find out from you. Here, I'd like to ask a couple of questions. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I want to ask you that question. Did you get it? Did you get it by keeping the law? Did you get saved by the law or was it faith? Was it because you did good that you go to heaven or by faith that you go to heaven? The answer is clear that they're saved by faith. The answer is clear. What's the greatest verse in the Bible? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever does what? Believes. It does not does good work and try to be a good person, those kind of things. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. We are saved by faith. He says, Galatians, how did you get saved? Did you get saved by the works of the law or by faith? Every one of the Galatians would answer, well, we got saved by faith. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who does what? Everyone who believes. Ephesians 2:8-9, it's by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Over and over, the Bible says it's by faith. And so he says, listen, I want to ask you this question. Did you receive the Spirit? Did you get saved by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? They said, well, it's by faith. Right. Okay, I'm going to ask a second question. Having begun by the Spirit, in other words, you got saved and you got the Holy Spirit by faith, are you now being perfected by the flesh? In other words, are you now being made mature by your flesh? He's answered that question. Of course, the answer is no. Now, we began by the Spirit. We trusted in Christ by faith. We got the Spirit. Now, how are we supposed to live? Are we supposed to live by the flesh? Listen, the truth is this. The flesh can never mature or save anything. The flesh is always in rebellion against God. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so he's saying, how do you live the Christian life is what he's really saying. How do you do it? Do you live the Christian life by faith or works of the flesh? We all know the answer to that. We say it's by faith. It's always by faith. The Christian life is in the power of the Holy Spirit. The flesh could never do it. If its works or law can't save us, how can the works of the law mature us? If salvation is by faith, the Christian life is by faith. And so the two questions that he's raised are, did you get saved by faith or works? Faith. Do you grow by faith or works? It's by faith. And that's true for all of us. And every one of us in this room need to understand that we're saved simply by grace through faith, and we live the Christian life by faith. You remember Galatians 2:20? I've been crucified with Christ, and no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We'll see it more in just a minute. Here's question 3, okay? Because he says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, you're now being perfected? This is that question 2. He says, did you get perfected by the flesh? The answer is no. Here's the next question. Question 3, did you suffer and experience so many things in vain for nothing? He said, did you suffer for nothing? Look at verse 4. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? He said, if you trusted in Christ and you were saved by faith and you're persecuted because you said it was by faith, did you suffer that for nothing if it's not by faith? Listen, there are some of you in this room who, because of your stand for Jesus Christ and for your stand that you believe salvation is a gift by faith, that there are people make fun of you because you tell them it's faith alone and Christ alone. Now, we're not really persecuted for our faith, but there are people who say that you're wrong. There are people who say, y'all are making it too easy for people to become Christians. I've had people tell me that. You're making it too easy for people to become Christians because you're telling them it's faith alone and Christ alone. Paul's saying, Galatians, if you say it's by faith alone and Christ alone and it's not, did you suffer for nothing? They were being persecuted because they said it was by faith. Now, he says, well, if you say it's not faith, then are you being persecuted for nothing? And so many Christians, it happens to them, they get going, they start off in the right way, and then because people begin to make fun of them, because they say it's by grace through faith, that they get confused. They get confused. And so we ask one more question. Does God, who gives the Spirit for power, that's eternal life salvation, and works the miracles among you, that's Christian life, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? He says, he wraps it up and says, so do you get saved by faith and do you live the Christian life by faith or do you live the Christian life by the works of the law? We all know the answer. The answer is, well, it's by faith. It's by faith. How do we have eternal life? By faith. How do we live the Christian life? And he basically saying, is God doing all this? Is God doing this by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Are you saved by faith or works? Are you? Do you live the Christian life by faith or works? Remember, I brought it up a while ago, Galatians 2:20. How do we live and serve the Christian life? By faith or law? Galatians 2:20. It's by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So I want you to think about something. That we're saved by faith, we grow by faith, we serve by faith. And by the Galatians' own experience, they can see that salvation and Christian life are not works of the law, but by faith. So Paul says to the Galatians, how'd you get saved? And they said, well, by faith. And they said, why are you telling us works now? How do you live the Christian life, by faith or works? And they'd say, well, it's supposed to be faith, but we've been told it's works. He says, listen, how did you get saved? By faith. How do you live the Christian life? By faith. Somebody has confused you and telling you it's works. This is the key for all of us. I have known many people who, by the grace of God, they understood the salvation gift that is by faith alone in Christ alone for eternal life. And then not too long after trusting in Christ, somebody came in and confused them, and they're confused on whether they're saved by works, they're confused on how they live the Christian life, and they live the rest of their time always out of fear, thinking they could lose their salvation, always out of fear, hoping that they've done enough to either stay saved or prove that they're saved. Paul says to the Galatians, look at your own lives. How did you get saved? By faith. How do you live the Christian life? By faith. Now he's going to use a second example. He's going to use the example of Abraham to show that salvation is by faith. Now, Abraham is one of the great men in the Bible. Most of the time when you think about the Bible, you say, okay, Moses and Abraham and Adam and Eve and Paul and, you know, all these people. Everybody thinks about Abraham. Abraham was the first Jewish person. God called Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees, which is modern-day Iran, Iraq, to cross over the Tigris-Euphrates River and go to the land that he would show them and give them, which is modern-day Israel. And Abraham left. He was a man of faith. And I want you to see something. The Judaizers were going back to Moses, and they were saying, law. And Paul says, no, you can't go back to Moses. You go back to Abraham. And watch what he says. Here's the point. Abraham was saved by faith, not law, because there wasn't a law. Abraham lived 500 years before there was law. You understand that? When people start talking about law, you understand from Adam and Eve all the way to Moses, there was no law. The Mosaic law was for the nation of Israel when they came out of Egypt, and it lasted until Jesus Christ died on the cross. So just understand that. And that's why when people tell you it's works and it's law and it's all of this, they're confused. So Abraham was saved by faith, not law, because there was no law. Abraham was a man of faith. And by the way, this is how we're all saved. The same as the example of Abraham. Abraham was saved by faith. Look at verse 6. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Now here's the example. He says, how did Abraham get saved? Abraham was the great Jew, the first Jew. And if these Judaizers are going to go back to anybody, they're going back to the Mosaic law. But Paul says, don't go back to the Mosaic law. Go back to the first Jew. Go back to Abraham. And look what it says. Abraham believed God, and it was counted or reckoned to him for righteousness. That's Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. I want you to understand, in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abram then to leave that land, and he believed God. In Genesis 15, 6, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Now, the word reckoned means to be counted or to be credited for righteousness. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, from Adam and Eve all the way up, even Abraham. Abraham was not righteous before God. When he believed God, when he trusted God's plan of salvation, it said Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. God gives his righteousness to those who believe. I want you to understand something. Every one of us in this room, we all sin and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after God. None of us measure up to God. To get to be with God, we have to be as righteous as God is. And we'd say, well, our righteousness is filthy rags. And God said, that's right. But the moment you believe in Christ, I will credit to you my righteousness. It's called imputation. God God gave Abraham his righteousness by faith. God gives us righteousness by faith. Every one of you in this room, if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God put on your account his righteousness. And if somebody said, are you a righteous person? The answer is yes. You're as righteous as Christ is. How? Because he deposited on your account his righteousness. Let me show you this. Philippians 3:9, being found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness of God, which comes on the basis of faith. Romans 4:5, to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited for righteousness. Do you understand that when you believe in Jesus Christ, God gives you his righteousness? That's what he did to Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now, look what he goes on to say. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. The sons of Abraham means we're the same as Abraham. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're just like Abraham, who is a man of faith. If you're people of faith, you're like Abraham, like father, like son. As Abraham believed and was saved, all who believe are saved the same as Abraham. Abraham believed and was declared righteous and made righteous. We believe, we're declared righteous and made righteous. Abraham was a man of faith. You and I are people of faith. We're the same as Abraham. That's why he says, therefore be sure that those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. In other words, we're just like Abraham. Jews are physical descendants of Abraham, but all believers are spiritual descendants of Abraham because we're people of faith, just like he was a man of faith. We're his children in that sense because we're following after him. He came to God by faith. We come to God by faith. This is not something new. Notice verse 8. The scripture, the Bible, foreseeing that God would justify Gentiles, how? By faith, proclaimed or preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. Now, I want you to understand something. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the good news to Abraham was that because he believed in the Messiah and the Messiah was going to come through him, anyone who would believe in the Messiah would be saved. That salvation was coming through the Messiah, and Abraham was the father. That's the bottom line, the father of all who believe, and the blessings come that way. Since the Messiah was coming through Abraham, all who believed like Abraham would be saved. That's why he says in verse 9, so then, those who are of faith, anybody who believes, are blessed with Abraham. See, Abraham believed. The blessing of Abraham is the salvation simply by faith. Abraham was saved by faith. All who believed are saved the same as Abraham. Every one of us in this room, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a son of Abraham because he was a man of faith. We're his children being people of faith. That's what Paul is trying to say. Every one of us in this room, when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, God gives you his righteousness all by faith. That's his point. It's powerful. So all who believe get this. And so the example of Abraham. And so the first two points, the experience of the Galatians, salvation by faith, not law. The example of Abraham, salvation by faith and not law. So listen, let me just say this about law, and we're going to see it more next week. Law can't save you. You can't be good enough to be saved by law. Because law has certain things to do. Nobody can keep the law. Since you can't keep the law, you can't be saved by the law. You can't be saved by good works. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. The righteousness of man is filthy rags. All your good works are nothing. You can never be saved by being good. I gave my testimony in our grow group this morning. I gave my testimony. And I thought that if you did good, if you did more good than bad, you could go to heaven. I didn't know. Nobody ever told me. I thought one day I'd stand before God and he would measure it out and he'd say, okay, you did this many bads, this many goods, you did more goods than bads, you get to go to heaven. I didn't realize that all the goods in the world can't pay for one bad. See, the law says one bad, you're out. It didn't matter how many goods you got because you can't keep the law. And that's why we need a Savior. And it says, Galatians, how were you saved? By faith. How was Abraham saved? By faith. When you believed, you're the same as Abraham. All of us are saved simply by faith. It's powerful. The law can never save, never has the power to save. It just shows us that we're sinners. So let me show you some applications, okay? Understand that God's way of salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. Eternal life salvation comes by faith and not by the works of the law. You can't keep the law. We're saved by faith, not what we do. We get God's righteousness by faith. Look at this. The Galatians were saved by faith. Abraham was saved by faith. We are saved by faith. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, that if somebody asks you, do you think when you die or whatever, are you going to go to heaven? Are you going to be with Jesus Christ? Are you going to be with God? I hope that every one of you in this room would say yes, because I have trusted Jesus Christ to give me eternal life. I have come to him by faith, not by my works or righteousness or anything, because I can never measure up. My salvation is not based on my goodness. It is based on my faith in Jesus Christ who gives me eternal life. I hope and pray every one of you would say that. So the Galatians are saved by faith. Abraham was saved by faith. We are saved by faith. We need to declare that message into this community. And that's okay. People are going to make fun of you. People are going to say you're wrong. People are going to say you're making it too easy. People are going to call it easy believism. People are going to call it cheap grace. People are going to say that you're wrong, that you need to do certain things in order to be saved. You're with Paul. He's the right one. Paul says it's by faith alone in Christ alone. He says the Galatians are saved by faith. Abraham was saved by faith. We are saved by faith. Second, this Christian life. We live the Christian life by faith and not by the works of the law. It's the flesh and the law have no power to help us grow. That's why Paul says, did you start off with the Spirit? How are you going to get perfected by the flesh? You're not. And see, we live a life of faith, Galatians 2:20. We live the Christian life not by the flesh, but by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:4. Galatians says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have eternal life by faith. We live the Christian life by faith, all dealing with these great truths. May you and I go out these doors and we clearly proclaim to people the salvation message by faith. May we also clearly understand that we live the Christian life by faith and not by the works of the law. We'll get more to that when we get into chapters 5 and 6, but we'll see it as we go.